Welcome to a distant future full of possibilities, where the enigmatic Florvans are humanity's alien best friends, and their gift of the quantum space drive allows starships to slip through the veiled dimension they call the Strange, as they visit distant planets and stars. Come along with the Astral Navigators and their Florvan counterparts as they explore the galaxy and build friendships that will change the course of history. The Strange is calling you. Welcome, friend-shaped entities, to the second episode of the Strange Space Adventures podcast. I'm Katie Silverwings, author of the award-winning, cozy, optimistic science fiction series this podcast brings to you each week. I'm thrilled to be here with you once again in audio form to share the tales of Strange Space. This week, we have three chapters from my debut novella, Feathered Friendship. We'll be hearing a bit more about the early life of the little bird who hatched last week, as well as the not-quite-mad scientist and young Florvan lab assistant in her life. And with that said, here's this week's installment of Feathered Friendship, a Strange Space novella. Chapter 3. There we are! One more perfectly lovely hatchling. Isn't this exciting, Kobe?
Welcome to the galaxy, little birdie.
Cobalt pauses, looking over the newly emerged bird. Dr. S, when will we find out what colors this one is? At the moment, like all baby budgerigars, this small pink creature is completely bald and betrays no hint of what their actual appearance will one day be.
Not too long, dear, Dr. Salazar Newman tells them, preparing the syringe of nutritious sludge she'll be feeding the little bird. They'll get their down feathers and open their eyes in 10 days or so, and their colored feather should show up in 2 or 3 weeks. So we have a while to wait, then.
We do. She gestures towards the nest box hanging in one corner of the bird room's night cage, where a small yellow budgie is peeking out and accepting an offering of food from a bright blue one. Considering that Judith carries the white-based genes even though she's yellow-based herself and Archibald is blue-based, it's entirely possible we'll get a little blue and white bird of some kind. I'll sequence this little one's genome like we did with Albert once they've had something to eat. We'll be able to make a better guess about the feathers then.
I'm not sure I want you to tell me, says Cobalt, watching with interest as Dr. Salazar Newman does her best impression of a mother bird for the hatchling, complete with soft attempts at soothing chirping sounds. I'd rather let it be a surprise.
She chuckles. Oh, it'll be a nice surprise regardless. There are several factors that interact to make the different color morphs.
Okay, then. You'll have to show me your gene charts again.
The tone of the young Florvan's voice betrays an enthusiasm almost matching their mentor's for the details of the subject. Their long, tufted tail has taken up an equally curious waving motion.
Say, Dr. S, don't you think it'd be easier to let Judith and Archibald take care of these chicks like they are the rest of their clutch?
Well, easier, yes, but then it would be easier for me to lose track of which hatchling was which while they're still featherless like this and too small to give their ID microchips safely. Besides, the rest of the clutch is our control group for this experiment.
I suppose that makes sense.
Mind you, Kobe, says Dr. Salazar Newman, grinning up to her assistant. Once this little bird is a bit bigger, you're going to be the one making sure they don't go hungry. She pauses, looking over to the incubator in which a slightly larger baby bird is now chirping for attention. And speaking of hungry budgies, it sounds like Albert's awake. Go ahead and mix up the food like I showed you, and we'll see how you do feeding him once I'm done here.
Yes, ma'am.
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4. Time passes. Somewhere along the way, her eyes open and she gains a fluffy coating of white feathers on her back. She's learned by now that she is something called a bird, like the many birds flying freely around the room belonging to the creature called Doctoress, who is not a bird, but something else that is much bigger and has no feathers at all. She has the impression that one day she'll have nice feathers like the other birds, but for now hers are still growing in. She's not sure yet what color they'll be. Most of the other birds are shades of yellow and blue and green and white and have black stripes across their heads and backs, though, so she's reasonably sure she'll look like one of them. She likes the idea of having more feathers. Feathers are warm and seem to be the thing that allows the other birds to fly. The doctoress also seems to be her mother, since it's this one that feeds her and cares for her and picks her up to sit her in all the different interesting places that make beeps and whirs. She's not entirely sure why Mother has no feathers or wings and is so much bigger than her, but food and care is provided, so Mother this creature must be. Her instincts tell her this, and she believes them. There's another tall creature who regularly comes into the room where she and all of the other birds are. Mother calls this creature Kobe, and seems to show them an excited sort of parental affection, too. She wonders if that makes the Kobe creature her sibling, although they're hardly a bird themselves. They're only a bit smaller than Mother, and hardly the same sort of a creature. They're bright blue and silver instead of shades of pale brown, and have two extra limbs, a tail, and a third eye to start. While the Kobe still doesn't have any feathers, at least they're a similar color to some of the birds. She's beginning to understand the language of the other birds, although they don't say much that interests her past simple things about food and flying and how pretty this or that thing is. She likes the sounds Mother and the Kobe use, though, and is starting to be able to understand what their sounds are as words, even if she doesn't understand all of the concepts behind those words. What she likes best right now, though, is that whenever the Kobe comes to the side of her warm, translucent nest box and peers in with their three large golden eyes, it means that it is time for her to be fed. She's decided that's reason enough to want to keep the Kobe as part of her flock, since their presence is a sign of food. She always makes sure to chirp happily at them as thanks for this. As a growing bird, after all, she's always hungry. Chapter 5. How is Bernadette today, Dr. S? Cobalt asks, immediately going over to the pair of incubator boxes where the two baby birds who hatched from the eggs they carried into quantum space reside. They have a marked fondness for the younger of the hatchlings, possibly because hers was the egg they kept with them for the entire time the baby bird within it was growing. As soon as Cobalt comes within view of this younger hatchling, the little bird starts chirping excitedly and shakily wiggling closer to the side where the young Florvin is looking in at her. She's developing well, Kobe, says Dr. Salzar Newman, joining them at the incubators and gesturing to the hatchling. See, she has more pin feathers today. She's turning into a very spiky little bird, Cobalt holds back a giggle. She does have a lot of pin feathers, doesn't she? Dr. Salzar Newman reaches a hand in now to gently rub through and help the little bird preen some of her new feathers, particularly the ones at the top of the head where the hatchling's beak can't reach. Don't worry, they'll lose all of the sheaths and become proper feathers once Bernie grows a bit more. Is she going to learn to talk like Rico does? Eventually, Kobe, at least that's the plan. Although, like I've said before, what Rico does is just imitating words he's heard as a flock signal. He doesn't really understand what more than a handful of them mean. And Bernie here's still just a baby. She won't be able to learn anything for the experiments until she's fledged. Right, of course. Dr. Salzar Newman turns her attention to Cobalt now, ruffling the mess of silver hair behind their large cat-like ears for a moment with her clean hand. The young Florvan accepts the brief, affectionate contact almost as happily as the hatchling had. So, how was your first shift back helping Ciel? Dr. Salzar Newman asks, going over to the cabinet where all of her baby bird feeding supplies are kept. It was okay. Cobalt's eyes are still on the hatchling, but cast downwards a touch as they answer, Only okay? I had to spend most of it sitting with Lieutenant Freiberg and Nav instead. Same problem as usual? Yeah. I see. Are you feeling better now? I hadn't heard much of anything from Navy this morning, just that you'd come in after the shift and curled up in your nest without saying anything. I'm fine. I just... Cobalt's tail swishes reluctantly. I sort of overslept and missed seeing everyone this morning, but I don't think Ciel's told them what happened yet. Ah, I had to come down here early and tend to the birds, so if anything was discussed over breakfast, I missed it. Dr. Salzar Newman holds out a cup with a small syringe sitting in it to Cobalt and gives them a reassuring smile. Here, help me give our little birdies their lunch, and then we can have some tea, and you can talk about it if you want to before we get started with the other work we have waiting. Okay? Cobalt looks up to her for a few moments and then takes the cup and syringe with a hesitant nod. Okay.
And that's where we'll leave our story for this week. I hope you're enjoying the continuing story of Bernadette the Budgie. Next week, we'll explore more of her life and see if she can get those wings of hers in working order. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave a comment or review on your podcast source of choice. Reviews and recommendations are the best way to help grow the show so I can continue bringing you more and better stories each week. Be sure to subscribe too so you don't miss the next episode. If you'd like to support this podcast and all of my other ongoing projects in the Strange Space universe, you can join the Strange Space Fan Club. It's free to join and gets you access to perks like the Strange Space Encyclopedia, chapter transcripts, and the official fan club newsletter. At higher tiers, you can also access the full archive of Strange Space stories on my website, receive exclusive fan club merchandise, and more. You'll find the link to join in the show notes. Thank you so much to all of my existing fan club members, especially Astral Navigator tier member Sharon T. Hinton and long-running space adventurer Tabitha. I am deeply grateful to all of my fan club members for making this podcast possible. Thanks again for joining me today on the Strange Space Adventures podcast. I hope your upcoming week is filled with opportunities and joy. This is Katie Silverwings wishing you the best the galaxy has to offer. Stay shiny!
The Strange Space Adventures podcast is brought to you by Pep Talk Productions, LLC. Strange Space is a trademark of Katie Silverwings, LLC, and all content of this podcast is copyright 2025 to Katie Silverwings. For more information on Katie Silverwings, Strange Space Adventures, and this season's story, visit www.katiesilverwings.com.